Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I am joined today by Takehiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, July 27th, 2020. Welcome back, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
You recently wrote a report entitled JPY Cross-Trade, Post-COVID Japanese FDI Portfolio Rebuilding and JPY Basis Swap Triggers, that you've received a lot of questions on from our foreign investor clients. Why is overseas investing by Japanese companies so important right now?
Recently, I have been following the global business portfolio of the Japanese companies and writing on the global corporate supply chain changes in foreign direct investing FDI. This is because as governments and central banks around the world have been focused on how post-coronavirus global supply chains should operate, Japanese global supply chains has becoming increasingly important. US and European companies operate globally, but so do Japanese companies. Not only large Japanese corporations, but also down to SMEs. This is the biggest difference with US and European corporate sectors. Japan and Europe already have negative interest rates and extended to low interest rates, and now the US may be heading in that direction. Central banks in not only developed economies, but also emerging economies have cut their policy rates to stabilize domestic economies, despite the risk of their currencies devaluating. But over the past few years, even against the background of the US-China trade war, Japanese companies have been expanding globally. FDI by Japanese companies surged after 2013 when the BOJ introduced a quantitative and qualitative monetary easing. Japanese companies are now managing both domestic capital investment and global FDI portfolios together. And their global strategies have become even more important. It's too late to turn back at this point.
Can you give our listeners a little background on how Japanese companies expanded their overseas businesses in the past? Working for a Japanese bank in the US, I might be a bit biased, but I think the effort has generally been a great success. How would you characterize it?
Japanese FDI multiplied from 30 trillion yen in 1996 to 193 trillion yen in 2019, with returns from FDI increasing from 1.4 trillion yen to 14.4 trillion yen over the same period. The return rate on direct investing rose from 6.1% to 7.5%, while the rate return dipped during the financial crisis of the late 1990s and 2000. The returns on Japanese companies' FDI portfolios have averaged 7% to 8% over the last 20 years. Are there any other assets that can deliver such attractive investing returns amid the low interest rate environment?
As a follow-up to that, have the investing practices of overseas balances of Japanese companies changed at all during the coronavirus pandemic? And if so, how? And what are the implications for the yen and dollar-yen basis?
The coronavirus pandemic is not yet over, but it has already resulted in various structural changes for Japanese overall external flows. First, Japanese trade surplus with the US has shrunk. Also, Japanese companies have been lending their overseas subsidiaries more than 1 trillion yen every month since the start of this pandemic, which is logged as FDI. Trade imbalances of Japanese companies with the US have been decreasing, and they are accumulating more overseas assets, JPY selling. The reason why the yen has been not been strengthened is because of structural changes in the Japanese rules, not due to speculators. Looking ahead, repatriation of Japanese companies' cash dividends could slow as past financial crisis. Cash repatriation flows could fall by around 5 trillion yen in 2020. However, foreign direct investing has not dropped in 2020 compared to 1999 and 2009, as Japanese companies have been lending more to overseas subsidiaries for support and to cover losses. I feel that such structural changes in Japanese corporate flows have limited the risks of JPY strengthening recently. And while US dollar JPY basis swaps have tightened on the front end, thanks to the US dollar fund supply appellation of the Bank of Japan, the belly and long end have relatively stayed wide because Japanese banks receiving US dollar JPY basis swaps for FDI to fund Japanese corporates.
Thank you. To conclude, can you take us through what you'll be watching the next couple weeks and your view on the yen swap rate and dollar yen basis from here?
The FOMC will be meeting on July 28th to 29th. I don't expect any big surprises and think that any impact on US dollar JPY and JPY rates will be limited. More important will be developments on the yen side. The Japanese Ministry of Finance will hold a 40-year JGB auction on July 28th, and I will be watching Japanese investors' appetites. The Bank of Japan will also release its August JGB buying plans in the evening of July 31st. The BOJ has been buying a large sum of TDBs recently. The Ministry of Finance has boosted new issuances of the JGBs, especially the TDBs, in 6 to 12 months. The government's cash account balance hit 45 trillion yen on July 20th. Government cash funding is average and stable, and the BOJ's TDB purchases, as well as overseas investors taking a JPY-based arbitrage trading opportunities, are keeping the front end of JGB curve well supported. Looking ahead, I have a neutral bias for JPY rates and the JPY basis. I have a bearish bias in US dollar JPY spot rate singular with a range 104 to 107. This is a summer vacation season for both Japanese and foreign investors. Liquidity diminishes in the summertime, so US dollar JPY could react to even slight news. But this is a time of year Japanese players convert their dividends and interest gains to the yen. So we warn of a downward trend for US dollar JPY spot rates. Japanese investor buying of foreign assets usually help to limit JPY strengthening, but investors may not be active enough to support a plunge in US dollar JPY. We will be watching to see if Japanese capital outflows, including retail investor flows, will offer downside support for US dollar JPY.
That's great analysis, Sakita-san. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.